If you've been to a sports event in the last 30-plus years, you've probably seen or participated in the wave, when successive groups of fans briefly stand and raise their arms over their heads, then sit down and on, creating an undulating effect throughout the stadium. For better or worse, the wave has appeared in American stadiums and arenas since the early 1980s. And the man credited with inventing it is a native Californian named George Henderson, better known as Crazy George. Now a resident of Perryville in Cecil County, Maryland, George joins us to tell of his long and loud career as a professional cheerleader. Still crazy after all these years and cheers, Crazy George Henderson, the inventor of the wave, on Midday After the News. Welcome to Midday, everyone. You've been there. You've been there in the stands when the wave came your way and you felt obligated to stand up, or you enjoyed doing that, being part of the wave down at Oriole Park or in Old Memorial Stadium in Baltimore or wherever. It's probably happened in every stadium and arena in the country by now. It's been 30-plus years since the wave, when that successive group of fans briefly standing and raising their arms over their heads, and then they sit down, and then it goes on and on and on, creating this wave effect through the stadium. Well, you know what I'm talking about. For better or worse, the wave has appeared in American stadia and arenas since at least 1981, as far as we know. And the man who gets credit for inventing the wave, for better or worse, is George Henderson. He's in the studio with us, known as Crazy George Henderson. Hello, George. Nice to have you on the Midday Show.
Well, thank you for having me. I love being on this show. I had to hit my drum at least once. Okay. I know you said I couldn't hit it, but I get carried away.
I said, let's hold back on the drum. The drum is your thing, though.
Yes, without the drum, I'm useless.
It's a snare drum with a bass drum stick that you use on that, right?
That's right.
Okay, George, nice to have you with us
here. It's my pleasure.
So some people will say immediately, oh, the wave. Now, how do we know George Henderson invented the wave? So let's go right to that part of the story, okay? Your story.
Okay.
It's October 1981, and the Oakland Athletics are at home playing against the New York Yankees in the American League playoff, right?
That's right.
Okay, tell us the story there. What led up to that day, and how was the wave invented?
Well, to start with, that's the day I invented, October 15th, 1981. But it started about 4 years before that in various incarnations. But I was a professional cheerleader, still am. I've been cheering for 40 years for a living. And I started the concept at a Colorado Rockies ice hockey game. And I fairly well perfected it there. The problem was, it was very small crowds.
At Colorado Rockies hockey games,
not baseball.
Was that a minor league?
Well, it's sort of like it was an NHL team.
It wasn't actually an NHL team. I forgot that Colorado. This was before they had the Avalanche out there.
Yes, and before they had crowds.
Before they had crowds.
That was the problem.
So it's hard to get the wave going. Were you thinking the wave? How did this come to you?
Well, it started with a four-section cheer that I was doing it. The first, it was a three-section cheer. Go was San Jose State at San Jose, California.
That's where you went to college.
Yes.
So you would have one section
jump up and yell San.
And then Jose.
And then Jose. Then the last one, stay. Oh, it was great. But what happened was the alumni on the other side
noticed. Loved
it.
They noticed that it looked like something.
They liked the effect, and they were always talking to me about it. So then I was hired by the Colorado Rockies because I am a professional cheerleader and I have to eat. So I moved to Colorado. And I started doing the Rocky games.
Before we go on, the professional cheerleader part, when was the first time you got paid to do your thing?
I got paid in 1974. I started getting paid, but it took me till 1975 or 6 to quit teaching. I was a school teacher.
What did you teach?
Those poor kids. I taught very little. Why do you think I quit?
George, did you teach shop?
Yes, I did. I taught job electronics, wood shop, and metals shop.
Okay. But for a brief period, and then you actually made a living as a cheerleader?
Yes, from 1975 on, that's all I've done for a living for the last 40 years.
You started at San Jose State. You were a student and a member of the judo team.
Yes, we were the NCAA national champions.
Okay, but you did your cheering at football games at San Jose State?
Yes.
You grew up in California.
I did. I was a California boy.
And the first time you were paid, you said, was in 1974. Who paid you?
Well, in the 1970s, the San Jose Earthquakes soccer came into town, and we revolutionized soccer. Up till that time, there was only like 6,000 people had ever gone to a professional game. San Jose came to town. They started the franchise. We draw 16,000 the first game, and Lamar Hunt was the president of the league from the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's right. Lamar Hunt, who was the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs. So he kind of discovered you at the Earthquakes game.
Yes, he could not believe. He never, ever saw a reaction like that ever at a soccer. Oops.
Have some water, George.
I'm getting excited. At a soccer game.
All right, at the soccer game. Okay, so, and he saw that your ability to get people excited.
Yes.
This is before the wave, though.
Before the wave.
All right, we're going to push up the clock a little bit. We'll come back to this story.
Okay.
Because you actually were a cheerleader for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes, they hired me.
And the Houston Oilers.
Oh, this goes on and on.
We'll get to that. So, You're at the Oakland Coliseum.
Yes.
It's October 15th, 1981, and you've already had crowds do this sort of three-section cheer.
And I was already doing it in Colorado for the Colorado Rockies.
Hockey
I started with a three-section cheer.
Right.
The section next to him wanted to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
I started with four sections doing Go Rockies, Go Rockies. Well, the fifth section wanted to do it. So they started going Go Rockies, Go Rockies, screaming it. But it was too much for people. You don't know if you have to yell go or Rockies. This takes brains. So I said, let's cut this stuff out. Everybody just yell go,
right.
Go, go, go.
Each section did that.
They stood as they did it. But it kept going. Went all the way around.
And did they wave their arms
over
their heads?
Not even me telling them. It was sort of instinctive.
Just came to them.
But they
went stand up and wave like that.
Yep, and it went around and around. Well, that's the wave, really.
I just did the wave in the studio. So one man wave. Okay. Okay. So did you notice? Did you stand back and say, hey, that looks like something. That looks like undulation.
That's a great term, undulation. I like it.
Yeah, I looked it up this morning.
It's very good.
So did you say, did it occur to you? Hey, that I've just invented the undulate.
That's right.
I just invented the wave.
But I had the concept now. This was good. This thing going, go, go, go. And it got faster and faster. Then I went to California, and I started doing high school rallies. Well, there's no rows in these bleachers.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to point at the kids, and I got on a basketball court, and I started doing the perfect wave. No, not even any rows, just a solid kids in a whole circle. And I got going, and that was in high school rallies. Well, that was 6 months before the Oakland A's came to play. The Yankees come to play them.
Play the A's in Oakland.
And I had this concept,
mm-hmm. The
wave, but I didn't name it yet. I didn't know. I just knew what it was. So I get to the Oakland A's game. It's a critical game. We had to win. We lost two away.
Let me ask you something. It's 1981. By then, had you been going to A's games as a cheerleader?
Yes, they hired me in about 1979.
Oh,
it was my third year with them.
Okay.
But now I've perfected the idea of the wave. It's this third game in the series. If we lose that, we're out of it. So I said, I'm going to try this here. So I got three sections organized. We needed it. We weren't behind yet. It was still a tied game. It was the fifth inning. I organized three sections, and I said, when it goes that way, it's going to die because nobody knows what it is.
Mm-hmm.
When it goes that way, I want everybody to boo. And I started at three sections, and it started to roll. It went like five or six sections and died. I had them all boo.
So you want them to boo the section that didn't stand?
They knew it, and so a bunch of people started.
Okay, so you were developing the dynamic of competitiveness.
That's right.
In the sections,
that's
is that right?
Each section. Now I started.
You know, you're an evil genius.
This is it. I can't believe how I thought. So I said, let's do it again. We started, went about one-third of the way around.
Mm-hmm.
Died again right behind home plate. And I said to myself, boo! And everybody booed. It was great. Now a big boo came out, and all 47,000 fans now figured out what I wanted. They knew it. They figured out, well, we want to keep it going. I started it the third time. All three decks were doing it. It went around first base. It went to the outfield, and it came back right by us, and you won't believe what happened. all the fans in front of me stood up, stopped the wave, and applauded it.
I read an account of this.
Yeah,
that
there was
a major, big cheer went up.
Oh, yeah.
To the point of distraction to the players, the Yankees, the A's on the field.
Right, and I said, wait a second. You three sections, you're not supposed to applaud it. You're supposed to keep it going,
right?
So the fourth time I started it, it was amazing. All four decks were doing it. It swept around the energy. It came to our section, went right on by like a locomotive, the power of it. Went a second time, a third time. And by now, Joe Gargiola was up in the booth, and he was going crazy over it. He was the announcer. It went fun. It was fun. And of course, I didn't know what he was saying at the time, but it kept going and going. And that's where I say the day the wave was born.
And other people have acknowledged it since then.
Oh, well, we had some controversy going on.
We can talk about that. Now, the controversy was that at the University of Washington. I'm sorry, I got to mention them because.
You said their name. I hate Washington. They tried to steal the concept. They
did it. The Huskies, right?
2 weeks later.
Okay.
I hate them.
So this is what I know about it. You can tell me if I'm wrong or not. They claimed that they instituted it as a regular thing at their games. They didn't acknowledge you at first. They have since acknowledged that you probably did the first wave.
Yes, because this is why I claim it as the first wave. First, I was doing it at Colorado. I was doing it at high school rallies, but I didn't have any proof.
Right.
There, I had three times they televised it. I have it on video. Secondly, Joe Gargiola was there, famous announcer, and his quote was, I was there, I saw it, it's as good or better wave than I've seen since. So I have him, I have people, I met thousands of people come up telling me they were there. So I have proof.
Yeah.
So that's why I take date.
It showed up on a video highlight that the A's did
the
following season in trying to sell tickets.
Yes, they made a highlight film and they used the video of the wave.
Right.
And it was October 15th. Seattle starts it October 31st. And I want to tell you something. In Seattle, the University of Washington is so stupid, unless you hold a camera in front of them, I'm a calendar in front of them, they don't know the 15th falls before the 31st. I'm glad I didn't graduate from that school.
You went to San Jose.
San Jose State, my school! Yes, the only team I would not cheer for. Cheer against for money.
Now, George Henderson is our guest. Crazy George has published a book about his career, his long and loud career as a cheerleader. Crazy George, the inventor of the wave, still crazy after all these cheers, co-written with his wife, Patricia Timberg.
That's right. See, I supplied the pictures. There's like 70 pictures. I'm gorgeous. It's a book you should buy just because of my pictures. But Patty, my wife, wrote it, and she's brilliant at setting this up for
me. I have a question. You're wearing jorts. You're wearing jean shorts, cutoffs in this, and that was sort of a signature a part of your apparel, your costume, if you want to call it.
That's it. The last 40 years, that's where I wear old cutoff Levi's.
Do you still wear jorts, do you, George?
Yep. Yeah. Same old Levi's. It's probably the same pair.
Now, we're going to get something started here. We go back to the story of the wave, and the history is 30-plus years now of the wave, and it's still going on. There's some people have been long distracted by this thing, think it's got more to do with, I don't know, it has nothing to do with what's going on the field. It interrupts people who are watching a baseball game. They feel annoyed by it. And I'm sure you've heard all this.
Oh,
right?
I have.
So what do you say to people who don't understand what it is other than a distraction? Because it's really not a cheer, right?
It makes a little noise.
It's like exercise for the spectators or something. They're doing. I don't know what it has to do with cheering or supporting your team.
Oh, I can tell you.
Okay. Can you make that case?
I can make the case.
All right.
See, I'm a professional cheerleader. I get more noise going to the game than most teams have ever saw in their whole life. When I do a game, I do one game for a team. I make so much noise, they hire me back for the next 4 years because they never saw that much noise, that much enthusiasm at their game or anywhere else. That's why they bring me in, or they'd bring somebody else in from somewhere else. But after I do a wave, the energy that it adds to a game, the next cheers I do are louder, more intense, because the fans feel involved in the game. They've accomplished something, and it adds to their excitement. And then I do a defense cheer or an offense cheer, or I start clapping. It doesn't matter. There's more noise, more energy generated after the wave.
And you think that goes for baseball games as well?
Every game, every
game. So if you do a wave at Camden Yards, and I don't know if you've ever have done it.
No.
You haven't done the wave?
The only game wave I've ever done was at the Oakland A's. I've only was with one Major League Baseball team.
The Oakland Athletics.
Oakland A's for four years.
And so have you ever just gone to Oriole Park and brought your drum and said, I'm going to, for the heck of it, I'm going to, you know, lead a cheer here down?
No, I've watched. I like to go about once a year. I go to a game, not paid, not working, just to see the atmosphere of the crowds.
Right. Do you always see a wave?
Oh no, I hardly ever have ever saw a wave that that I wasn't involved in.
Okay.
So it's
no, I mean when you make one of those busman's holidays, you know, and you go to a game just to watch the game.
Yes.
Do you always see the wave?
Oh, no, it doesn't go that often.
It doesn't happen all the time anymore, does it?
But even me, I'm a cheerleader, and I invented it. Half the games I do, I don't do a wave.
Okay, but you don't see one either.
No.
Okay, because they become less common. Am I correct?
Yes.
They're still around.
Yeah, they still do it. It's gone all around the world now. I mean, it is a worldwide phenomenon. I mean, every country now. I mean, it's done more in foreign countries than it's done here now.
I saw a video of Fidel Castro doing the wave.
That's right. Old Fidel did it.
George Henderson is our guest. Crazy George, inventor of the wave. 410-662-8780 is the phone number here if you want to call in with a comment about the wave or express your feelings about this. Or maybe you took part in one that was amazing and you want to tell us about it. A lot more from George Henderson when we get back. A short break here on Midday. And welcome back to Midday. Dan Roderick's here with Crazy George Henderson, with his wife, Patricia Timberg. He's now written a book about his, how many years? 40-plus years,
40
right?
As a professional cheerleader.
A professional cheerleader. Crazy George, the inventor of the wave, still crazy after all these cheers. That's the title of the book. It's available from Amazon. So when you were a little kid, I mean little, like 6-7 years old, did you do any of this stuff? Did you go to a little league game, or did your parents take you someplace and you were, you know, a precocious cheerleading kid, loud kid? What were you like when you were 6 or 7 years old?
That's my problem. See, all my life I was ultra shy until I got into junior college. I mean, I never even talked to a girl in high school. Not even talked to one. I was shy. And then in junior college, I made a conscious decision in one day to become extroverted.
How did that happen? What was your breakout?
My breakout was I was asked to come to a dance. I never danced before either.
Who asked you to the dance?
This group, a bunch of people said, George, you got to come. I became popular because I kicked some guys out of a bar, and I was on the judo team, and they thought I was a hero.
So they invited you to a dance?
Yeah, and I got noticed, and I started liking being noticed, and it was fun, and they invited me to a dance. Of course, I didn't know how to dance, so I had to watch American Bandstand and practice the moves. I got them down, and I went down to the dance, and I was going to ask a girl to dance, but I was a coward.
How old were you then?
I was about 19 or 20. Mm-hmm. So I was walking down, and some girl walked up to me and asked me to dance, or I might have still been introverted.
You didn't come from a loud family?
No.
There are people listening right now say, oh, yeah, my family's pretty loud. Your family wasn't like that?
Nope. I was shy and all at once.
Well, I know you were. Was everyone else?
Oh, yeah. They were just quiet, normal type people.
Okay. And what have people who knew you back then, what do they have they made of you over the years?
Well, they can't
believe
the change.
They're still shocked.
They said, you're so quiet, George. Now, my brother, he's insane. Not me. They pay me to be insane. I'm just still quiet when I'm not working.
So you became more of an extrovert, and you were on the national championship judo team.
Yes,
San Jose State. You liked it. I mentioned that again.
6 years. I got to hit the drum on that one.
Right,
6 years we were the national champions because of me.
We're going to listen to something here. This is George leading a cheer actually at a high school event, high school track and field event. Is that what this is? This is the Willie Davenport Olympic Track and Field Clinic 2011. Is this in California?
Yes, it is. Okay. I do that event every year.
We found this. This is Crazy George leading a cheer for the track and field coach at James Logan High, Lee Webb. Do you remember doing this?
I know Lee. I'm going to be there next month.
Okay, so you were trying to get the kids to do a cheer for him. Is that right?
Yes, I was.
Let's listen in here.
I'm going to hit the drum twice. Then you're going to yell Lee Webb. And it's got to be loud. Hit the drum twice. Lee Webb.
So you became a professional cheerleader, you said, in 1974. The first time you were paid to lead a cheer was at San Jose Earthquakes?
Yes, San Jose
Soccer.
Earthquakes. Yeah, I started getting paid in 74. I didn't turn professional until about 75 or 76. I quit teaching in 1975.
What was your first paycheck? Do you remember?
It was $25 a game, and after one game, I thought I was doing pretty good. I went up and I asked for $35 a game, and they paid me that, and that started me off. But I never thought I'd be a professional cheerleader. I just asked for the $35.
George is the inventor of the Wave, which comes along in 1981, and I was talking before about, you know, some people are annoyed by the Wave, don't take part in it. They're kind of grumpy. At baseball games, they feel like it's an interruption, a distraction. So over the years, what would you say over the years, 40 years of doing this, do you find that people mostly appreciate what you do? There's no one else around to get the cheer going? They actually need you?
Yes, that's the main part. I am the only person in the world that does what I do. I mean, there is no other place or another place you can go and you can hire somebody. And in one game, I transform 50,000 fans into 50,000 fanatics. And I do it in one game. And when I first started off, I was unknown. I went in unannounced, no publicity. And I went in there and I just told the owner or the general manager, give me a half a game and I will terrorize this place. And I'll have all 50,000 of your fans cheering. And I do it.
Is it true that Chuck Knoll?
Chuck Knoll! There you go again. You mentioned him. Chuck Knoll.
It's the first time I've mentioned him.
Holy cow.
Right. Chuck, is it true that Chuck Knoll, then head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers,
yes,
tried to get you relieved of your duties?
Yes, he tried to get me banned from football.
And what was that all about? Was this in Kansas City?
No, this was at the Houston Oilers game.
Okay, so you were hired first by Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes.
And then later by the Houston Oilers, who later became the Tennessee Titans.
That's right.
Now we have, never mind. Anyway, so this was years ago. This is what, in the 70s,
yes.
80s?
Yep.
Okay.
So I came in, I was doing the Oilers. And Chuck Knoll comes in with Pittsburgh with Terry Bradshaw's quarterback. Now, Terry Bradshaw, a lot of people think he looks like me. I want to tell
you
something.
Well, you look a little like Terry Bradshaw.
No, I'm a good-looking Terry Bradshaw.
I will give you that.
He wishes he looked like me.
You're not quite as Cro-Magnon. Anyway,
so I got so much noise going there that Terry Bradshaw could not call audibles. They couldn't hear the snap of the count. We buried him. It was 6-0. At the end of the game, Chuck Knoll came out in the interview and said, the only reason they lost the game was because of that blonde guy in the stands with the drum. That was me. He said it was totally unfair. He wanted to go to the league and have me banned. And he did. He went to the league like the next week and called the commissioner and tried to have me banned.
Well, I mean, that could have happened anywhere. That happens in Pittsburgh. Joe Flacco, our quarterback, now he can't hear anything in Pittsburgh when he goes there.
Okay, that's now.
That's now.
I want to tell you something.
But back in the day, it wasn't as noisy.
I want to tell you that's the reason the teams kept hiring me, because they never saw the reaction and the crowd noise they saw when I was there. And he said it was totally unfair. You know why? Because nobody else in the league, he'd been to every other team, and he played every other team.
Yeah.
And they could call their audibles, but not in Houston.
You didn't travel with the Houston Oilers or the Kansas City Chiefs.
Just
did home games, right? Well, you know, Baltimore had a couple of homegrown cheerleaders who were legends in their time. Wild Bill Hagee with the Orioles in the 70s and 80s out, and maybe longer than that, out at Memorial Stadium. He was a local guy, cab driver, who did his thing up in Section 34 at Old Memorial Stadium, and people will remember him.
Oh, no, I remember. I used to watch him on TV.
Yeah, yeah. And then there was Big Wheel, right, with the Colts in the, back in the day, who led the Colts cheer. So there were some homegrown people, which makes me think, did you ever feel like you were crowding out a homegrown cheerleader, like somebody, I don't know, in one of these places where you worked as a professional cheerleader, there was a local guy or a local woman who was leading a cheer?
Not really. That ever happened? I want to tell you something. Back then, there wasn't anybody like that. When I went in, the fans at pro teams, they expected their team to win because the players were getting paid big bucks. That was the difference between college and a professional.
Sure.
You went in there, you expected your team to win because they were getting paid. You didn't have to cheer for them. You didn't have to be part of the team. Well, that's changed all. In the last 5 or 10 years, a lot of teams have got the point where they now have their fans involved in the game to try to affect the outcome. Mm-hmm. And a lot of teams are creating that and doing it.
George Henderson is our guest in this hour of midday. He's known as Crazy George Henderson. Did you call yourself Crazy George with a K? When did that come up?
That started on the judo team because I was so nuts. Before I was a cheerleader, they started calling me crazy.
It's a long road from San Jose State to today, where he lives in Maryland. I didn't mention that. You live now in Maryland with Patricia Tinberg, your wife.
They've
co-written this book together, Still Crazy After All These Cheers. Crazy George.
Well, you know, that's probably rated as maybe the greatest sports book ever written.
Which one?
This one.
This
Crazies.
One here?
Yeah, my book, because of Patty. She did the writing.
What happened with the Chuck Noll thing, by the way? The league saying, Chuck.
The league, I'm not kidding. They started passing rules against me. And in 1989, they put one in the rule books specifically against me. I can't believe it. Of course, luckily for the league, they got their senses and they stopped ever enforcing the rule. They had rules against noise in the NFL.
410-662-8780 is our phone number here. I put the number out there in case anyone wants to say hello or compare notes on cheerleading with George Henderson, professional cheerleader. Who else has paid you over the years? I know you got a pretty long list of clients.
Oh, I've had hundreds. I was at the Houston Oilers, the Minnesota Vikings, the Kansas City Chiefs, the New Orleans Saints, the Oakland A's, the BC Lions Canadian football, the San Jose Earthquakes soccer, lots of soccer teams, lots of teams. I've done well over 100 professional teams.
And are you still active, or are you sort are you under contract?
I'm going back to San Jose Earthquakes this coming March. I'm going back in March to open up their brand new stadium, and I think I'm going to be landing in a helicopter to start the game.
Because you're a legend. That's sort of where your career began. Yes, it is.
It is. That's where I started, San Jose State.
Let's go back to the Wave and the Wave story. You invented the Wave. So 1981, you get this thing established, and you have this controversy with the University of Washington, the Huskies, who are claiming that they started the Wave. It was a Monday night football game, and this is back in the days of Don Meredith and Howard Cosell doing the games on Monday night. And the Wave goes up in whatever game is being telecast at the moment, and Don Meredith says it was invented at the University of Washington, the Huskies.
Yes, he did, and he was wrong.
Yes, and Howard Cosell pointed it out to him.
That's right.
Do you remember this correction on the air?
I love that correction, and I heard that correction. He has it right. Meredith had it wrong.
And the Wave at Oakland. Oakland lost that game, by the way, right?
Yes, I know. That's because New York cheated a lot.
What do you mean?
Oh, I can't believe how they cheated. What? And I want to tell you something. Besides cheating, they're ugly.
This is the Yankees of Dave Righetti.
Yes, I told you how ugly they were.
Is that
the whole team was ugly, and the Oakland A's were great looking.
All right, that was the end of their season, though, right?
Yes.
So the Wave. What happened to the Wave after that? If the season ended,
that's the problem.
What happened to the Wave after that?
Well, then 2 weeks later, Seattle did it, and that's the start of their season.
Seattle You mean Seattle football?
University of Washington, yes.
Oh, the Huskies.
Yes, okay. They started it. Of course, that was just a starter.
That's
so
how
they
this.
Kept doing it.
Oh, I see. So the next, they picked it up from you.
Yes,
that's right.
And then
okay.
They did it. And then now right. Other colleges saw it because they played against them. They took it back to their college. They took it to Michigan. They started in Michigan. Everybody there is doing it. And it kept spreading and spreading until people go, this is great. Let's find out where it started. They started going backwards. They get to Washington. They go, oh, yeah. We invented it. Those liars.
Now you have an awareness of the history of the wave, even
yes.
though you're not everywhere at all times and aware that it's being done,
yes.
right? So what was the heyday of the wave? This is something people associate with the 1980s and then started to peter out and then shows up again. What would you say? Talk about the arc of the history of the wave, George.
Well, I think the arc of the history, it was great, and it started to spread to the United States, and it went around. But in 1984, I think it's getting to be about its heyday here. We did it at the Olympics in California. Every
the LA Olympics.
Right, and I did it there. And now it come Mexico. All the fans came up from Mexico to the soccer games for the Olympics. They watched it. Every soccer game in the Olympics, we did the wave. Now they take it back to Mexico. They start doing it all over Mexico. And then in 86, it started, they got the World Cup in Mexico. Now they're doing the venue. Every venue now is doing the wave in Mexico for World Cup. The whole world is watching. And now it spreads through the world. And in 86 on, every country started doing the wave. And they start calling it the Mexican wave.
I was going to ask you, why is this called the Mexican wave?
That's because the whole world thinks it started in Mexico. But that was until 86.
It should be called the Crazy George wave, no?
Oh, it'd be nice, but no.
Crazy George Henderson is our guest, the inventor of the wave. 410-662-8780 is our phone number here for Midday. Dan Roderick's with Crazy George. For the remainder of the hour, if you have a comment, a question about behavior in the stands these days and how it's changed over the years, cheerleading, professional cheerleading, and the wave. Perhaps you want to tell George you're not that crazy about it or that you've loved the wave. You're the person who gets the wave started when you go to an Orioles game or a Ravens game. Do they do the wave at Ravens games? Do they do that anymore? Anyway, that's our phone number, 410-662-8780. More of our conversation with George Henderson when we get back. There it is. There's the wave. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Catching. There it goes. I must admit, sometimes when I'm watching a ball game and the Orioles are in the midst of something, you know, fairly intense, and people are doing the wave, I'm saying, what is the matter? This is my reaction. I'm going to be honest with you. So what is the matter with you people? Isn't the ball game enough for you? What are you doing? Look what's going on out here. It's Chris Tillman. It's a tight situation. And you're doing the, don't ask me to, I'm not going to stand up in the middle of that. So I choose to sit, George.
That's all right.
I choose, and I'm called Mr. Grumpy by my friends because of this. But that's me. And you've heard this before, right?
I have.
Yeah, and what do you say to people like me?
Okay, here's the way I look at it. First, a wave. If it's really a good wave, and most of them are pretty good waves, 95% of the people in the stands have to be doing it.
For it to be successful.
So there's 95% or sort of saying vote yes on the wave. But here's what I found out. About 95% of sports talk people don't like the wave.
Oh, really?
So the only thing I can say, if 95% of fans like the wave and 95% of sports people
You're winning. Crazy George Henderson, the inventor of the wave, with his wife, Patricia Timberg, now co-authors of Still Crazy After All These Cheers, a book available from Amazon.
That's on my website, crazygeorge.com.
Tina wrote in on Facebook. She said, I always heard that the wave was invented by TV cameras scanning the crowd. Fans would stand up and cheer to be on camera, and that got a wave going. Is that you saying no?
No, because it just came out in the New York Times and gave me credit for starting it.
I saw that.
All right.
So that pretty much cinches it,
doesn't it? If they say it's true, it must be true.
Let's take a couple of calls for George Henderson, Crazy George. This is Mark in Aberdeen, up your way. You're in Cecil County now,
yes,
right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Hi, Mark.
Yes, he is. Hey, George, how are you? Hey, Dan.
Hey.
Hey, I've really enjoyed the this segment. I had the pleasure of meeting George a number of about 5 years ago, 6 years ago maybe, at a mutual friend's house over in Harry Grace for 4th of July. And George, at that time, he was very, very low-key, but I said, what do you do? And he says, I invented the wave. And I said, come on. He said, no, really, I did. And he gave me a little, like, a trading card with his name on it and his the famous drum and his hair going all crazy, and he signed it for me. But I have a couple questions. One is, how did George settle in Cecil County, since you mentioned it on the air? How did you settle in Maryland? And, I'll answer that. I'll ask a couple of questions. That, and I know Skip Carey, the late, great broadcaster for the Braves, Skip Carey,
mm-hmm.
Harry Carey's son, hated the wave, absolutely hated the wave. And he'd always deride the wave during the Braves baseball game. But my other question is it a true wave if you don't stand up? Because some people just kind of flap their arms up and
yeah.
they don't stand up, and other people stand up and flap their arms up.
Yeah.
Is it like a half wave if you don't stand up?
So, George, let's see. Mark in Aberdeen wants to know, what brought you to Maryland? And secondly, you heard this question about people who just, throw their hands up in the air and instead of standing up and doing the full wave.
Yes, I like all those questions. First, I came to Maryland because my wife moved here. We weren't married at the time. And she came in to produce her dad's music. And he wrote a lot of the music to Popeye, Betty Boop, and Superman cartoons
really,
back in the
40s. Patricia Timberg's father.
Father wrote all those Boop Boopie-Doo songs and the Superman theme song and all that stuff.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, so was his name Sammy?
Sammy Timberg, yes.
Really?
That,
wow.
That was him.
How do you like that?
So I came here, and we got a boat together and a house together, and we're boaters, and it's just been great.
But you haven't been hired by the Ironbirds in Aberdeen or the Orioles of Baltimore yet?
No, not yet, but I've done a lot of minor league baseball around here.
Oh, have you? Like what?
In fact, I had a list just to make sure I covered everybody. Listen to this. I did the Bowie Bay Sox.
You did the Bowie Bay Sox?
I did.
Huh.
I did the Delmarva Shorebirds. I did the Wilmington Blue Rocks, the Lakewood Blue Claws, and the Nashua Pride, but that's way up south.
Yeah, that's way up north.
Depends which way you're looking.
No kidding. Well, can we get you at Camden Yards at the Orioles? If Mr. Angelos would agree to hire you?
You never know. I mean, right now I'm just doing a lot of minor league stuff, and of course I'm doing a lot.
But you'd like that, wouldn't you, George?
I would.
The Orioles honor George Henderson, inventor of the wave, tonight.
They honor me.
Some people out there are saying, Dan, what are you proposing, please?
I like it.
Those are the grumpy guys like me who don't want to see the wave there, but maybe as a pregame thing it would be okay.
That's right, but I wanted somebody to honor me because of my really good looks.
Now, what about people who just flap their hands instead of standing up? What?
I think that's still great. In fact, getting to my age, I'd probably do that when I lead the next wave. I'll probably sit in a chair and just throw my arms up. Sounds like a good idea.
That might be why a lot of people do that.
That's right.
Those chairs, those seats are pretty tight. They can't get up easily.
And they got a beer in their hand.
Yeah. Here's Mike in Pasadena with a story for us about the wave. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Dan. Hello, George.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. Hey, I got a good story for you on the wave. So this was the 1984 gold medal Olympic soccer match with Brazil and France in the Rose Bowl.
Hmm.
So, there's just this tremendous amount of electricity and energy in there anyway, but about midway through, somebody started the wave. And, it took off like crazy. Everybody was into it. And then somehow another wave started going in the opposite direction. And being down inside the Rose Bowl, watching all this, that was really cool. It was really exciting. So, George, I can almost forgive you for inventing the wave in the first place.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, it does have a great optic effect if you can get a good enough perspective on the thing.
Yeah, that's what I was telling you
cool.
about the wave, how it started, how it's now the Mexican wave,
yeah.
Because they did it in the Rose Bowl for the Olympics in 84.
Now, we've talked about how it might have petered out, and you see it here and there. I still see it at the Orioles games. I'm a little surprised. I said, actually, the last time I was there, I said, what year is this? It's not 1984. What year is this? You're still doing the wave here, but what do you know about the wave's usage these days in this country, in the U.S.? Is it still done?
Oh, I think it's done once in a while. You'll see it here and there. It's not a big thing even on my list. I'm so glad I wrote the book. In fact, that's why I wrote the book, is I wanted it documented.
Yeah.
So the University of Washington, in 10 years from now, can't claim it.
Are you a sports fan?
I'm a fan of sports. I am successful for one reason. I react like a fan wants to react at the game and is too shy and too scared that he's going to make a fool of himself when he stands up and does it.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm a fan. I just love going to games and watching them and seeing the excitement. And it's every sport. I like to go to games for every sport. Now that I work the games, you know, I have to work part of it, but 90% of the game I'm watching. I'm waiting to do a cheer when it's proper time and people want to do a cheer. And so sometimes, if it's a great game, I'll do 40 cheers in a game. If it's a crummy game, I might do 5 cheers a game. I react like the fan wants to react.
Yeah, because when your team is losing and the game is a groan, getting some guy in front of you to try to get you going.
Yes, and it's embarrassing for the team.
Yeah, yeah.
The team's staying terrible. Yeah. They don't want people cheering for them. Yeah. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So you pick your
moments. So if the home team's winning, if things are going well, baseball, football, you've done basketball as well.
Right.
And ice hockey. Now, is it true? I have to ask you this ice hockey story. So Terry O'Reilly played.
Terry O'Reilly, you said his name. He tried to kill me. Go ahead and ask the question.
This was after the Chuck Knoll thing in Pittsburgh, right, with the Steelers. Now it's a Bruins game.
Yes, the Boston Bruins are playing us.
And who? Playing who?
The Oakland Seals.
Oh, I remember them. The Oakland Seals.
The mighty golden Oakland Seals. They were great.
Yeah.
They never won a game, but they're great.
Who played for them? Carol Vadney?
That's a yes. And
okay. I'm trying to remember who else played. But anyways, that team became the what, by the way?
Cleveland or somebody. Dennis Marouk.
Dennis Marouk.
Oh, he was great.
So you're cheerleading for the Oakland Golden Seals.
Yes.
In the NHL.
That's right.
They're playing the Bruins. Terry O'Reilly gets a penalty. What happens?
Okay, so I was just sort of circled around and got behind the penalty box because he cheated a lot. He slashed our player. So I started pounding the drum and I said, "You pimple-faced weirdo turkey, you coward."
Oh.
And he went.
You're being like a real hockey fan now.
I was mad.
You know,
and so he,
you know, they say that
down.
Stuff in the Boston, old Boston Garden. They used to say that stuff. Boston Garden. They used to say that all the time.
I know it. Yeah. So he took his glove and he threw it at me.
Really?
So he was mad.
Were you pounding your drum?
Oh, yeah. I was pounding it right over his head. So I decided to move back a row because he looked like he was a little mad at me and was coming at me. So I moved back. He threw his other glove at me. Now I'm back like 3 rows. He comes up to over the glass, takes the stick, and swings it at me.
No kidding.
But now I just remembered, I forgot that he brought a team with him.
Yeah.
Now the whole team is in the penalty box, and they're coming up the wall after me.
So what did you do, George?
I had to move back a row because I didn't want to hurt the whole team.
I would have moved back about 10 rows.
So I was doing that. And if you ever know this, but Boston fans come out of the woodwork for their team. So half
and this
crowd,
was in Oakland, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Half the crowd was Boston. Well, 2 of them jumped me. 2 Boston fans. Now the war was on. I won the battle.
I know why you won the battle, because you're a judo champion.
No, I outnumbered my 100-1. Everybody in that section was an Oakland Seals fan.
Oh, they sided with you.
Of course they did.
So they liked you.
And they were drunk.
Crazy George. Crazy George Henderson, inventor of the wave, our guest on Midday. Tim, calling from Ocean City with a story about the wave. Hi, Tim.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
I just want to say thank you, George, for doing what you do.
Oh, I
and,
love it.
You inspired me, and I didn't know it at the time who was the inspiration, but in 1985 at the old Philadelphia Veterans Stadium, I began the wave at a Bruce Springsteen concert, and that thing just kept going and going and going.
I love hearing that.
Do you remember, was it during a particular song by the Boss?
No, unfortunately, it wasn't during your performance. It was, you know, while they're, you know, setting up stage and all that kind of good stuff.
I was going to say, fortunately, it wasn't during a concert.
Yes.
Yeah.
So 55,000 of my best friends and I did that together. So It was an invigorating experience, I must say.
And Tim, you believe you started it?
Oh, just at that event, not the wave.
No, I mean at that event. You're taking credit for starting it at that event.
I am definitively doing
that. All right, I hope you have it on video so you can prove I had to do.
Thank you very much, Tim.
Thanks.
You know, when Terry O'Reilly went after you, I'm assuming maybe that game was on local TV? Or...
I have some great shots of it.
Somebody with a camera
on the other side had like 5 shots.
Do you know a fellow named Gary in California who was on your judo team at San Jose State?
Gary Newquist is one of my heroes.
He's calling us here. I hope.
No kidding, from California.
Yeah, it's amazing what the telephone can do these days. Go ahead, Gary. Hi.
Hey, and it's my wife, Mary, and I want you to quit calling her.
Oh, yeah, I do call her when Gary's out of the house.
That's why
George.
He wants you to stop calling his wife?
Yeah, I said, well, when he's not home, I call her up.
What else can we do for you, Gary?
Oh, man, I'm from the day he was born in the judo team. We've had stories on him. If we had the team here, you'd go on for hours.
So the team named him Crazy, right?
Well, that's right, and all of that, but... another aspect of George's life that it's very important. When you go down to San Jose and you're in a restaurant down there somewhere and George is with you, people come up and not just talk about the wave, but thank him for all his contribution of time and energy for nonprofit organizations. And here's the classic one, because my dad was in a nursing home in Morgan Hill, and there was a gentleman there that's going to be 106 years old in a wheelchair. And I got this idea to have George come in and celebrate it at the nursing home with the wave. And so I couldn't be there, but Mary was there, and he brought down the house. He was on the front page of the paper showing this gentleman who's in a wheelchair. They're all doing the wave. Even at dinner, the residents were still doing the wave.
That's a great story. Thank you very much, Gary.
Thanks, Gary.
You remember doing that, George?
Good luck with that short story, and say hi to Pat.
All right, Gary, thanks for calling from California.
It's not a short story. It's a whole book, actually. Crazy George, Still Crazy After All These Cheers, written with his wife, Patricia Timberg. We have time for one more call. Julie, go right ahead. Welcome to the show.
Hello, yes, this is Julie. I just want to say that the wave is still alive and well in the University of Wisconsin. My son is a biomedical engineering student out there, and we went out in October for the first University of Maryland-Wisconsin football game. Maryland was crushed. Anyway, at Wisconsin, they have a whole new, they take the wave to a whole new level. They have a sequence wave. They have a first, they go slow around the stadium, then they have a really fast wave, and then the wave splits and goes opposite directions and comes back to the other end. And I have never, I mean, there's, 80,000 people or whatever in that stadium, and they're all wearing red, and I have never seen so much school spirit at one place in my life as that game at University of Wisconsin.
Thank you, Julie. See that, George? They've modernized it. They put variations in it.
I like all these stories about the wave.
Yeah. I like having you here, George. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, George, and welcome to Maryland. You've been here for a while now. You think you're going to stay?
Oh, yes, we're going to stay. We're out there doing all my cheerleading stuff, and people even hire me for corporate meetings, and I'm a speaker.
Corporate meetings?
Yes,
I am. To get people excited at corporate meetings?
I'm a motivational speaker sometimes. I terrorize groups.
I can imagine. Hey, George, I think you need to be down at Camden Yards. I think that you should be recognized before an Orioles game and maybe do the wave and then, buy you a hot dog and a beer. Right?
Oh, I would love that part.
I'll speak to Mr. Angelos about it.
Or maybe Mr. Biscotti, the owner of the football team, the Ravens.
He might be ready.
I think we need you there. You're a Maryland resident now, George.
I've been here now for 5
maybe
years.
Go down to Annapolis. Governor Hogan will ask you to do the wave in the state house with the legislature. There's all kinds of possibilities.
Oh, you are inspirational to me.
So are you, George. Crazy George, the inventor of the wave, still crazy after all these cheers. Thanks for being on our show.
Hey, thanks for talking about me in that book.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. That's our midday for today. Dan Roderick's for our staff here. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Midday senior producer is Nikki Gamer. The producer is Maureen Harvey. The associate producer is Michael Himowitz. Our interns are Carrie DeSantis, David Richmond, and Marjorie Goodman. Midday's engineer is Luke Spicknell. Music produced by Jeff Truman and High Gravity Sounds. Midday podcast and live streaming is available at wypr.org. Dan Rogic's column appears in the Baltimore Sun. This is WYPR, your NPR news station.